With me to the book of Luke. We're going to be in chapter 18 of Luke. Yeah, it's good to see everybody tonight. The rain almost stopped some people tonight, but I see that y'all pressed through anyways. Amen. Sometimes God just puts a little rain up to see how determined we are. And y'all press through. Amen. We're going to go right ahead and start. This is a different word than I would normally teach. But I believe that it's for right now. It's for today. I believe that God want to talk to us. He want to open up some things that's going on in our own personal lives. Amen. So we'll go ahead and start reading. Our text for tonight is actually in verse 8. We'll just read verse 1 through 8 so that we can get the context. The Bible says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. Verse 7. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with him? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? Shall he find faith on the earth? Just to kind of give you a little brief description of what's going on. In verses 1 through 7, there's a widow. She goes to a judge. She has a request of the judge. And at the first onset of it, the judge would not hear her request because he was, you know, doing his own thing. But the woman kept coming to him over and over and over again. And the judge said, let me go ahead and give her her request, lest she keeps on coming to me over and over again. This text of scripture is actually talking about prayer. How we should pray and not faint, how we should pray all the time. And, you know, sometimes we get discouraged in prayer that sometimes if we don't get our answer right away, we give up on prayer. But the whole principle behind this text is that even if we're not getting the answer that we want or we're not hearing God, that we should continue and pray. Pray and pray and pray. The Bible says pray without ceasing. Ceasing is to stop. Don't even stop praying. Even when you get tired praying, keep on praying. Some of you are waiting for something from God, and you're saying, God, when am I going to get it? When are you going to open up this thing for me? Some of us are waiting for some financial breakthroughs, a marriage, a relationship to get right. And God says, I don't hear from you. It's been over a week. It's been over 2 weeks. And how bad do you really want it? If you had not been praying for it, God doesn't know how serious it is. If you just pray for it one time, then how serious do you really want it? So I want to encourage all of us tonight to pray without ceasing. But look here in verse 7, the context about her, not verse 7, I'm sorry, verse 8, the context, she says, Judge, I want you to avenge me of mine adversaries. So evidently she has some enemies that she wants the judge to handle for her. And just like this widow, God will avenge your adversaries as well. Sometimes we want to take things into our own hands. When people make us mad or do something that may offend us in some type of way. But God does not want us to take our wrath in our own hands. The Bible says that vengeance is mine, that vengeance belongs to the Lord. God told Moses, he says, Moses, I've heard the cry of my people, and I have come down to deliver them. Every time you beg of God to come and help, he is a helper whenever we need it. Can I get an amen? In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, the Bible says, "Hearken ye, all Judah," amen, "and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but is God's." And this is not where I'm going to stop at tonight. I'm really going to verse 8, but God did not want me to pass it up. Because sometimes we're having issues in our lives where we want to take the battle into our own hands. And I know as women, most of us are sometimes like a Martha. And we want to pick up and we want to do things. We want to take it into our own hands. If we don't see that it's going our way, sometimes we manipulate a situation to get it in our own way. But God says, the battle is not yours. Why are you fighting? Who are you fighting with? But it's God's. So stop fighting. God says in Nahum, he says, the Lord avenges. The Lord avenges and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserves wrath for his enemies. Just as God will take care of his own enemies, God gonna take care of your enemies as well. People that's been talking about you and doing all kinds of wicked against you, thinking that they're setting a trap for you or against you, God says, don't worry about it. Just as I will handle my adversary, I will handle your adversary. Oh, my goodness. Sometimes it's hard when you feel like everybody is against you. Amen? But you have a good friend in Christ Jesus. The Bible actually says that he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Oh, he's our help. He's our strength. Amen? So don't give up. Even when the naysayers come against you, it could be family that's coming against you. You know, some of the best friends that you have can come against you. But in our text tonight, look what God says. He says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Now, in this text, the Bible takes a little slight turn. He says, I'm going to avenge them speedily, nevertheless. When the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? He says, I'm going to do my part. I will do my part. All of your adversaries, I will make them your footstool. I'm going to avenge all of my adversaries. You see, Satan is on really a leash, guys. And he has no true authority in any of the believer's life. And God says, just like I'm going to avenge my adversaries, don't worry about me. Because sometimes we tend to worry about God's part. And we don't worry about our own part. This is what God says. He says, nevertheless, will I find faith on the earth? Like, let's stop talking about what I'm going to do, but let's start talking about what we're going to do. Amen? So Jesus is saying, when I come, will I find faith on the earth? And that's our text tonight, guys. Oh, God. God burdened my heart so much as many things are going on in today's society. We have trouble on our left hand and trouble on our right hand. But God says no need to fret about what's going on all around us. All you need to worry about is when I come, will you have faith still? And sometimes we generalize this faith. We say, well, there will be faith with other people. This one will have faith. But God is so specific. And he says, will you have faith? Will you have faith? We're going to have 2 points in tonight's lesson. The first point is when. And the second point is shall he find. The way this question is posed, girls, ladies, is almost a negative expected from this question. I love teaching on the questions that God have because most of the time it's a rhetorical question. Most of the time he already has the answers. So he says right here, he says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? Like, I doubt that I will find somebody believing in me. Now, with this here, I want to make it clear that it's not a salvation type of faith, okay? That's not what the scripture's talking about right here. It's not talking about saving faith, and we'll get into that a little later. But the Bible says, when the Son of Man comes, when the Son of Man comes, when describes time, like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, Thursday, Monday, May, June, 2014, 2016, when describes a time. And the first thing the Lord laid upon me is this. When tells us that we can expect God's return. You see, the urgency in this word is that most of us live day to day not expecting that he's going to come back. And not only do we not expect that he's going to come back, most Christians are not even looking for him to come back. Oh, my God. Matthew 24, turn with me in your Bibles if you can. We're going to talk about a little parable. 24, verse 43. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man comes. When you least expect Jesus to come back, that's when he'll come back. When you're not even looking for him, that's when he'll come back. The Bible says that if the good man of the house would have known what watch is a time, what watch the thief would have come, he would have watched and he would have stopped his house from being broken into. The time, when is he going to come? Ever heard of the parable of the 10 virgins? The Bible says there were 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. The 5 wise had oil for their vessels or their lanterns. The 5 foolish did not bring any oil. So the Bible says that they all slept and slumbered, which is how we all live day to day. We all sleep. We all do the things of this world. Get up, get dressed, go to bed, eat, those type of things. The Bible says they all slept and slumber, but at midnight. The Bible says at midnight, there was a cry that went forth. At midnight, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Do you have oil in your lanterns? What that simply means is, are you ready if Christ were to come tonight? Are you ready? And please bear with me. I don't want you to think about if, when you were ready, are you ready today? Because sometimes whenever we first get saved, we're on fire for Christ. We do many good things for Christ, but what about 10 years later? What about a year later? Are you still ready like you were whenever you first got saved? At midnight, if Christ were to come tonight, would you have everything in your house in order? Or would you say, give me more time? And what I mean by your house, I mean your soul. It was a shock to the virgins. They did not know when the bridegroom was going to arrive. Look in verse 13. The Bible says, watch therefore, for you neither know the day nor the hour when the Son of Man comes. We don't know, y'all. We don't know when he'll come. You know that the Bible says that God has declared the end from the beginning. And so there is a date set on God's calendar when the Son of Man is going to return. And you know, many of us, even as the word is going forth, we're thinking, of course, it's going to happen next week or the next month or the next year or when I'm 70 or 80. How do you know that? What if it's tonight? And my job is to prepare each and every soul. If Christ comes before this Bible study ends, that you would be ready. And not only that you would be ready, I pray that you would have a longing for his return. Because many of us long for the next movie. Many of us long for the next trend, for the next hairstyle. But do we long to see him? Do we have a yearning for him? Because you see, that's the whole thing about Christianity. Why? You see, we are just saints waiting to see our Savior. This is what it's all about. If you don't long for him, if you don't have a strong desire for him, this may not be the best thing for you. We got, like Pastor always gives the example, we got to look for him like we're waiting on the city bus. Amen? Is he coming? And when we don't see him, you know, whenever we really get impatient for the bus, we get up and we start looking like, did I miss it? And nowadays we'll call the terminal and see what time did the bus pass by. So are we doing the very same thing with our Messiah? Are we looking for him with eagerness? Where is he? God, look at this place that we're living in. Have you forgotten about us? I want to see you. You know? And that is the heart of every believer. Like, I long for you. I miss you. I want to come in relation with you, God. The sacrifice that you've given, that you've laid down your life on the cross, I just want to see you face to face so I can say thank you. Where are you? It's been 2,000 years. Where are you? I know you're coming. I know it's at an appointed time. I know. I expect. Can you expect him with me tonight? Can you long for him tonight? In the book of Mark, the Bible says, I'm not sure the scripture. Okay, there it is. Mark 13:32. The Bible says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Nobody knows when he'll come back. Not even the angels who behold the face of God every single day. He didn't tell it. You know, the Bible says that the secret things belong to God. And he just don't say anything to anybody at any time. He says not even the Son of Man knows the hour. But the Bible says in 33, take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not what time it is. We don't know what time it is. You know, there's a part of scripture that says we can discern the signs of the heavens. We can see a cloud and we can say it's going to rain today. But the Bible says we can discern the clouds, but we can't discern the signs of the time. We don't know what time it is. Do you know where we are on God's clock? That is high noon. It's high noon. 35, watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh. At evening, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. 36, lest coming suddenly find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Are you watching? What are you doing? What are we as women doing? What are we doing? Are we watching? Or are we asleep? What are we doing? Are we living day to day worried about money and temporal things? Are we worried about what was going on Facebook and things of that sort? Are we watching? If he's the husband and we're the bride, we should be watching for him. Some of us watch our natural husbands more than we watch for God. Amen? Are we sleeping? When Christ returns, will he find a church asleep? He asks in the Garden of Gethsemane, will you not watch with me for 1 hour? If we're supposed to be the believers, if we're supposed to be the very children of God, if we're supposed to be the Hebrews, are we watching for our God? Are we asleep? What have you been doing with your time? We got to expect him. We got to say, Maranatha, Lord Jesus, come. Not only am I waiting for you, I am rushing you to come. Because I am tired of all the wickedness that's going on in this world. I long to see you. Please come. I beg you, I beseech you, Father, come. Come. Look at chapter 17 in Luke. Chapter 17, verse 26. Now, when he comes, the Bible describes the time and how it'll look when he comes. The Bible says that it'll be like the days of Noah and of Lot. It'll be like the days of Noah and of Lot. You know, and I just want to say this. This is not a word about us so much. But it's a word about him. Amen? Verse 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Everybody's going to be continuing on their regular day. Sometimes we begin to think that some we're going to just sit down and wait. But everything that everybody is normally accustomed of doing is going to continue. That's the thing about people not expecting him. Some people are going to get disappointed because they're going to say, Lord, I had my wedding date planned. But can I tell you that this is a better wedding than your wedding? People will do the same things like they did in Lot's day and in Noah's day. It's a spiritual decline in our day to day. Amen? Can y'all agree to that? Wickedness everywhere. My daughter asked me the other day, she says, Mama, you think they're going to walk outside with underwear on? Because the attire is getting worse and worse. I said, probably. That's the day that we're living in. That's the day that we're living in. It's a spiritual decline. It's a spiritual decline. But can I tell you that even though the earth is getting more and more wicked, Christians are not calling for God. Christians are not saying, God, do you see the condition that we're in? When, oh Lord, when will you come and rescue us? We don't long for him anymore. Can you see that we all have a desire space in our soul? And what most of us do is we fill that part of our soul with other stuff. So us believers don't desire him. We come to church, we sing songs, but there is no real desire to see him. If we don't desire him, if we're supposed to be the salt of the earth, if we're supposed to be the light of the world, but if the light does not yearn for its source, how will the rest of the world be? Where are you? What is going on with you? What is taking your attention and moving your eyes, your gaze from off of him? What is it? Or who is it? God is calling his girls back. Luke 21:34 says this: Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that the day come upon you unaware. You see, many times, many of us, the day of Christ is going to come up on us unawares because we're not on guard, because we're weighed down with the things of this life. We're weighed down. We can't even receive his coming. Most of our minds may go left because we're weighed down with the things of this life. Now this is a kicker. That we would be weighed down with fake money. We would be weighed down with fake money. That's a nickname that I have of mine. They used to call me that in high school a little bit, because I used to steal, but it's okay. Not real money. I didn't steal real money, but I stole Monopoly money, so they called me fake money during the Monopoly game. But moving back. Have we taken our eyes off of Christ for fake money? For bills, for car notes, house notes, for the cares of this life, even sicknesses. Because sometimes the devil try to grip us with a sickness, to weigh us down, to keep our minds focused on a sickness, a body ache. What about our minds maybe focused on a job that we didn't get? Or on what somebody said? All of those things are the cares of this life. They weigh us down. The Amplified Version says this. The Amplified Version of that scripture says, but be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down and depressed. Some of us are walking in depression. Why? What has weighed you down? Why are you so downcast? Hope in God. Why are you low? What has caused you to be low? When we are low like this, y'all, our eyes aren't on our makeup. Why would what makes us low? Stuff. I have this motto: let them take it. Let them take it. But don't let your joy be stolen or your eyes away from our master. Oh, y'all, we hold on to stuff too much. People commit suicide for stuff. Think of the best thing that you have. The very best thing. For some, it's a house. For some, it's a car. For some, it's a ring. For some, it's some cash in the bank account. For some, it may be degrees or some type of education. What if that was taken from you? How would you be? The very best thing. How would you be? Would you still say, come, Lord Jesus? Some of you, it's a man. What if God take him tomorrow? Whether from infidelity or the Lord just takes him home. Depressed with giddiness of debauchery and the nausea of self-indulgence. And all that simply means is that we are just full of wanting and loving and desiring stuff. You know, we could live simpler lives if we had less of a lust for stuff. And I'm guilty of it too. We would have to work less, like literally we would have to just work to eat. And that's it. So that just, what is that, 10 hours a week? Can I get an amen for 10 hours a week? But because we require so much stuff, we have to work every single day. What's wrong with the shotgun houses? Women don't like to clap for that. We got work to do. We got work to do. What about a shotgun house? What about a room for the kids and a room for you? Can you imagine how simple life would be? If y'all do it, I'm going to do it. What if that would be a great thing? Like we're releasing stuff. And we're going to use all of this extra stuff to just serve in God's kingdom, to do God's work. How would the church look? How would we look? I'm encouraging you, and encourage me. But the Amplified continues and says, in the worldly worries of life, and then that day when the Messiah returns will not come on you suddenly like a trap. Stuff gets us in a trap. It gets us in a trap. We're so concerned about it. Yeah. Christians today that stuff just grabs us and holds us, that it distracts us away from God and God's work. And all we want to do is just do the bare minimum for God. We do the bare minimum for God, but give all of our energy and our strength and our monies and our love and our attention and our focus to stuff. But God, what is the very minimum that you require? And that's what I'm going to give you. If you require 10%, I'm going to give you 10%. If you require me reading my word a whole chapter a day or two chapters a day, I'm just going to read one verse a day. I'm just going to read the scripture of the day. You know, we do the bare minimum for God. This is the society that we live in, y'all. And if Christians live like this, how will we win the world? If Christians have this mentality that all I'm going to give is the very bare minimum, what about the world? If Christians say, I'm just going to come in on Sundays and that is it, what about the world? Or some, I'm going to find the shortest church service to go to. Well, I want you to pat yourself on the back, because since you're at Philadelphia, we probably have one of the longest services in Lafayette. So good job. Most church services are pretty much about 30 to 45 minutes at max with everything in it. But Christians today are saying, listen, I want something quick. I don't want to give God all of that. Well, how can you say that he's your husband? Think about it as a love relationship. If you go into that love relationship with, I'm just going to give you the bare minimum, would that relationship work? Some of you have been saying, well, I'm only getting the bare minimum from my spouse, and how was that working for you? So it is with our God. Give him more. You don't want to be like Lot's wife, do you? The Bible says in verse 32 of that same chapter, remember Lot's wife. And you say, well, First Lady, who is Lot's wife? When God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he told Lot, he said, through Abram, he said, get out of the city. But whenever he was getting out of the city, his wife looked back. Looking back, signifying that there was something in that city that I loved. There was something back there that I longed for. What is that thing for you? What is that thing for you that would cause you to look back? Come on, picture it with me. God is calling you out of a city, out of your comfort zone, but what would cause you to look back? That thing could cause you to turn into a pillar of salt, just like Lot's wife. Don't look back. Don't look back for Facebook. Don't look back for the next new movie that came out. Don't look back for any sports or what about even your favorite hobby? Because you know a hobby can turn into idolatry. When the Son of Man comes, will you be ready? Will you be ready? As the Lord was giving me this, the thing about being ready is we got to persevere. We have to persevere. Perseverance. You know, the Bible says in Matthew 24 that he that will endure to the end, the same shall be saved. He that endures until the end. When is that end? No man know the day nor the hour. Are you enduring? Will you endure? You got to persevere in Christ. You got to keep on. Most of us have so much strength at the beginning of the race, but at the last leg of the race is when we lose our strength. Some of you have been serving for a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years you've been in Christ. Are you weak? But you got to persevere. This is the time that you should really, really buckle down. You should really buckle down. Persevere means to be steadfast in doing something despite difficulty or delay. Difficulty, when you come up against things that you don't like, that's pushing you back, pushing you down, that's not the time to give up on Christ. That's not the time to give up on Christ. If Job would have given up on God when things got rough, the sicknesses, the loss of family members, is that you tonight? Are you a fair weather Christian? Do you want to serve God only in abundance? Do you know how to serve God in lack? Do you know how to serve God like Pastor taught when God says no? Persevere. Despite spiritual decline in our nation, persevere. Despite the attacks from our family members. How many of you are getting attacked from family members? Persevere. Despite your own flesh, because you know we fight against our own flesh. Our own flesh do not want to serve God. Persevere. Despite the enemy of our soul, persevere. It's no point in scoring a bunch of points at the beginning of the game. If your opponent comes back up, Your opponent can win the game. You have to play a full four quarters. You have to play the full game. And that's how it is in our Christian walk. The race is not given to the swift or to the strong, but to those who endure. God is calling you to be some long distance runners, to keep on serving him in the good times and in the bad. You should be able to see yourself old and gray serving God. Only when you are unable to come and serve him is the time when you don't come and serve him. You have to make a dedication and oath, God, I'm going to serve you for the rest of my life. I'm going to serve you for the rest of my life. You have me. You've won my affection. There's nothing that I wouldn't give back. My life is all that you need from me. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Persevere, woman of God. You never know what you'll get at the last leg of the race. What if you get out right before he comes back? When he comes, will you be found sleeping? In our verse 8, the Bible says, I tell you the truth. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? I'm still under my point number one, but I only have two, guys. Who's going to come? The Son of Man is going to come. The Bible calls him the Son of Man, which shows us that he's 100% man and he's 100% God. And I believe that Jesus put that title of himself right there to show us that even he understands when we get tired, that he's 100% man, that he went through and did the same things, went through the same struggles of the heart that you did, however, without sin. He is 100% God and 100% man. The Bible says that it's the Son of Man that's going to come back. When God splits the eastern sky, that's who we'll see. In Acts chapter 1, when Jesus was ascending up, the Bible says that this same Jesus is going to come back. Just as we look for salvation, like the Bible says, that we search for it like a treasure in a field, so we ought to long to see the Son of Man when he splits the sky and he descends. You know what a glorious day that'll be? When we see him. You see, we've never beheld him. You see, up until now, up until when we see him, we've had what I'm going to get into next is faith. We've believed in something that we have not seen. But when he comes, our faith will be made sight. All of our hope. You see, the Bible says that there will be no need for hope. There will be no need for faith anymore. Because everything that we've hoped for, we'll see it. That's why we're here tonight, to hear of him. And when he comes, no need for any more preaching or teaching, because the very word is made flesh. What a glorious thing that'll be. And the Bible says when the Son of Man comes, he'll have his reward with him. We'll see the very image of God, the Son of Man. We'll see him, we'll behold him. It'll be just such a majestic day, both good and fearful, because the Bible says that even the mountains will flee. Because though it'll be just a rejoicing day for us, not so for everybody. We'll see the Son of Man face to face. He'll look upon you. And keep in mind that the Son of Man is the triune God, the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. And so when he looks upon you, it'll be the Ancient of Days looking upon you. What will you call him? What will you do? Help me out, Bridget. Thank you. Help me out. Thank you. I love you. I always tell him, help me out. Good job. Thank you. What will you do? Will you bow before him? Some of you will worship. Just worship will come out. Some of you will just sit before him in his presence. This will be the long-awaited day. All of the saints of old, from the first to believe, Abraham, our daddy, all of the people that have died believing in Jesus Christ, all the people that still are alive when he comes, it'll be a grand day. It'll be the best day. It's better than any birthday. Man, this will be it. This is the climax, the height of all of our service, all of us loving and praying and reading the Bible. This will be it. The angels will rejoice that very God would come into the flesh. And when he comes, he's going to come and rescue us. And some of us saints will be like, God, we thought you forgot about us. Can you imagine? We serve him not only because he saved us, but for that day when we will see God face to face. Your maker. The Bible says that your maker is your husband. He's your maker. The Holy One of Israel. Yeah. What a glorious day. Our scripture says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily, but nevertheless, when that Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? Point number two, shall he find that great God that will behold? He's going to come looking for something. He's coming as an inspector. He's coming searching our very hearts and our very reins, our makeup, our frame. He's coming searching. Just like the widow persevered. Just like the widow persevered and the saints persevered. When he comes, he's going to look for one thing in particular. He's looking for faith. He's looking for faith. He's not looking for wealth. He's not looking for material goods. He's looking for faith. Faith is the object of his search. He's not looking for, he's not, I thought about it. I said, he's not looking for Biggie's wife. Faith Evans. There she go. He's not even looking for Faith Hill, country singer. And I said, he's not even looking for Faith Joseph. There she goes. However, but he's looking for faith. And what is that? It's not only belief in God, but it's all who God is. And everything about him. This type of faith that he's looking for, specific to this text, is talking about an everyday faith. It's a practical how we live faith. It's God is looking for faithfulness. He's looking for how you live day to day. He's not looking just so much as to if you believe in Jesus. Because in this text, he's talking to Christians. And it's already assumed that all of the people that he's talking to have the faith to save. Can I tell you that God is attracted to faith? It gets his attention. Remember he said in Luke 18, thy faith have saved thee. He says, I have not seen so great a faith in all of Israel. Like it catches his eye. He told the woman, he says, woman, great is thy faith. He said, thy faith had made thee whole. Rise up. He says, because of your faith, your sins have been forgiven. Faith catches his attention. This kind of faith catches his attention. He's going to be on a search, y'all. And you know, we can say with our lips how much faith we have, but when the inspector of our souls come up, he's going to determine exactly how much faith we have. And as the Lord revealed this to me, I said, Lord, since you'll do an inspection like this, I believe, but help my unbelief. Because in some areas of our lives, can we not all agree that we don't have what we need to have? That we don't believe him as we ought? That we don't walk in the faith as we ought? Am I the only one that falls short of the glory of God? Because I do. He's going to search. God, help our unbelief. He's going to see what you really have. Can you imagine him with a flashlight? Not coming up to us in a group. Not coming standing before like this group. But coming to each one of us individually and saying, let me see what's on the inside of you. Let me search you out. You know, we can hide from each other, but we can't hide from him. What's on the inside? His search will not be found fruitless. All of the secrets that you've been keeping will be made manifest on that great day. He's going to search. He's going to search more than TSA in the airports. He's going to search you. And no need to say anything. Just lift up your hands. Just lift it up. Just lift it up. Because he's going to size you up and down. He's going to size you up and down. And he's going to say, has she been found faithful? Has she been found faithful? Does she still pray like she ought? Are you praying? Because you see, what you're doing now is what you'll do when he comes. Because the thing about it is, we don't know when he'll come. So what you're doing now will determine what you'll do when he comes. Will you still be praying? Will, when he comes, Will people still believe in the Bible? Do you think that the Bible will be an antiquated book? Will be an outdated book? You know, there's only 28% of people that really believe the Bible for literal meaning of it. The thing about it is some Christians don't really believe the Bible. Do you believe when God says he told Moses to raise up the staff and the sea split? Lord, help my unbelief. There are things in the Word of God that you don't believe as you should. And God wants you to go back to all of those things and say, do you believe me now? Go back and look at those things. Because some of us don't believe that God caused water to come out of a rock. Some of us don't believe that a virgin conceived. You see, that's the thing. God, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's a tangible thing. Like, if you believe it, then you'll have an action. Then you'll have fruit that comes forth from that belief. So if you believe it, then you should walk in it. When the Son of Man comes, will people still attend church? What do y'all think? Will people still attend church? You know, most people come, well, back in the day, let me say this statistic first. Back in the day, people would only miss 2 or 3 Sundays a year. They would literally come to church 50 Sundays out of an entire year. 2 weeks, I'm guessing, sickness, maybe vacation, something like that. But now, church is more like, well, if I don't have anything else to do, then I'll come. Why isn't it a priority? And if it's like that with his people, what will it be with everybody? Will people still be attending church? Will he find faithful people? Will people still serve in church? You know, if we would be what God would want us to be, we would have a waiting list for people that wanted to serve. We would say we're putting a cap on it. We can't have anyone else working the sound booth. We have too many. We can't have any other people on the worship team. We have too many. Why? Because we have faithful, committed people. But in today's church, there's no faithfulness. We're faithful to our job. I see so many people, they're so sick on Sunday, but Monday morning go to work. Are we more faithful to the temporal things that will not last than to Christ, who is eternal, and to his work? We should have too many people work in the nursery. Amen, Miss Connie? Where are the faithful ones? Jesus says, when the Son of Man comes, will I find faith on the earth? Will people still do the works of God? Will people still clean the house of God? Will people still help usher? We're his church. We're the bride of Christ. And if we reluctantly serve, well, where's the faithful? What about prayer? Not only praying individually, but what about prayer? Will Jesus find faithful on the earth? If he were to come on a Thursday evening, have we put a game, a show before him? Will he find? You see what I'm saying? Now whenever I talk about it like this in particular to you, can you see that it's not a wrong question for Christ to ask? Can you see it? Can you see how we can presume that it's a negative answer? Like, no, I'm not going to find any faith. I'm not going to find any faithful people. Because no one wants to serve. No one wants to do the things that they did when they first got saved. Well, you know, I think we live in an infatuation society. Everybody loves the new thing. But what about time and commitment? People don't want to commit. What about whenever things aren't going as well? What about your 12s? Are you not going to your 12 groups? You know, the 12 groups are discipling groups. Have you not been found faithful? Will the Son of Man find faith on the earth? Or will he find a bunch of Marthas doing all kinds of things other than serving him, other than praying, other than staying in his word? Oh God, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day long. You know, it's one thing to come and worship on Sundays, but it's another thing if you worship by yourself. God wants to see how much faith he'll find when he comes back. Will his gospel still be presented? When he comes, will the gospel still be presented? The gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news. And the gospel is not just reading the Bible, but it's actually saying that us, we are sinners, and we have a Savior named Jesus Christ, Yahshua HaMashiach. And he died on the cross for our sins. And any of you, whosoever believes in him, would not perish but have everlasting life. Will this same gospel be presented? Or will we add to it? Will we say, that's too easy for people just to believe? Will the gospel still have its power? Will we get excited when a soul comes to Christ after hearing the gospel? You know, I see so much on Sundays when the gospel is going forth, people getting up and leaving. It's the gospel. It is the most, pastor could not say anything else and come and give the good news, and that is it. That's how people come into the kingdom, y'all. That is the door. And many times we play it down. I know it already. But do you believe it? And do you believe its power? So many of us don't believe its power. It's not good news. It's old news to many of us. It's good news, and it's new all the time. I can't stop hearing how he gave up his life for me. It never gets old to me. The blood of Jesus never loses its authority. When it doesn't mean anything to you, that's something that you got to go in prayer about. When you're tired hearing his sacrifice, it's not every day somebody sacrificed their souls for you, their lives for you. Oh, my goodness, when the Son of Man comes, will the gospel be still presented? What about when the Son of Man comes? Will his people that he called by his name, will they have learned about the Messiah yet? His people, the children of Israel, will they know about Jesus? Will they love God? Will you? Will you love him like you ought? I'm passionate about this because God told me that they're not ready. When Christ returns, will he find faith on the earth? Are you ready? Are you ready when he comes? I pray that you're ready. My prayer is that you're ready. And not only because of hell. The thing about it is that you'll be eternally separated from him. You see, if you don't love him like you ought, you still have his presence in the earth. But whenever he comes and you're not ready and you're cast away, his presence will be gone. We don't know how it is to live without his presence. Because the sun rises, we can attest that his presence is still here. I pray that you're ready. It would be for naught if you served. It would be for naught if you worshiped. It would be for naught or nothing if you went to a 12 group. It would be for naught if you read your Bible. It would be for naught if you said the sinner's prayer but never believed it. It would be for naught if you were not really ready. We have a song coming up. And we're gonna let them worship, but at the same time, the altar will be open. I'm gonna pray with those that are lost. The sinner's prayer. And I'm gonna pray with the saints that know that they're not ready. Their vessels have no oil in them. That some of us have been asleep. That some of us have more unbelief than belief. I pray that you'll be ready. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name.
I pray that we all be ready. I pray we all be ready. I pray that we all be ready for his return. I pray that we get our business right, so we can all meet at the gate. I pray we all be ready for his return. Sing it with me. Pray we all be ready. Pray we'll all be ready. I pray we'll all be ready for his return. By the road, one of them had a heart pure as gold. The sky was split, and the pure in heart raptured away. Yes, but one of the other ones left behind. He did not purge his heart in time. He cried to the Lord, but for him it was too late. I pray that we
all be ready.
I pray
we'll all be ready.
Come, Jesus, come.
I pray we'll all be ready
for him.
His return.
I I pray that we get our business straight so we can all meet at the gate. I pray, hallelujah,
for his return.
Listen, y'all,
man and wife in their bed, one of them by the Spirit led. The rapture came and took that one above. The other one rose on the next day to find the loved one raptured away. Oh, what a way to lose the one you love. I pray that we'll all ready.
I pray you will all be ready.
We gotta be ready.
I pray you will all be ready. I pray you will all be ready for his return.
I pray that we'll get our business straight so we can all meet at the gate.
Pray we'll all be ready for his return. Listen, y'all.
Mama and children in the mall, and mama heard the master's call. She was swept in the by and by. It's hard to rely on your mama's prayer when she won't always be right there. You've got to learn how to pray. Learn how to pray while there's still time. I pray that we'll all be.
I pray we'll all be ready. I pray we'll all be ready.
I wanna be ready.
I pray we'll all be ready
for his return. Search so that we won't be playing church. I pray
we'll all be ready for his return.
Oh, I pray
we'll all be ready.
I pray that we all
be ready. We'll all be ready.
We gotta be ready. Oh,
I pray we'll all be ready for his return.
I pray that we'll get down on our knees so that the Lord can wash us clean.
I pray we'll all be ready for his return. I pray we'll all be ready.
I pray
we'll all be ready. Straight so we can all meet at the pearly gates. I pray
for his return.
Get down on your knees and pray.
Yes, be ready.
Come Jesus,
his return.
Come on Jesus, we need you Jesus.
We went old school tonight. Y'all did a fabulous job.